I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 22. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to a study published in Scientific American, we each speak an average of 16,000 words per day. Did you know that? That's a lot of words. Interestingly enough, about 80% of our words are shared with about five people. These are trusted confidants, allies, buddies. That means close to 13,000 of our 16,000 daily words are directed at a very small number of people. The closest coworkers, team members, family members, and friends that make up our true inner circle. These are the people who think like us, who care about us, and believe in us. And the question that we can ask ourselves today is, why don't we talk to more people? Well, one answer is we have a hard time talking to people who are different from us. And as you read the Gospels, one of the things that you observe immediately is that Jesus talked to all kinds of people. He talked to people with leprosy, he talked to tax collectors, he talked to Samaritans. And at the cross, Jesus Christ died for everyone, and that includes the Gentiles. Now, the Jewish people did not typically converse with people who were not Jewish. There was a dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. But that all changed with Jesus Christ. We read in verses 14 and 15 of Ephesians 2, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law which, with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. So destroying the wall involves setting aside the law with its commands and regulations. What you read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 is, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Now as you look into verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 2, you find the word peace. The word for peace in the Greek language is eirene. It implies wholeness, the joining together of people. The word eiro means to join or tie together. Do you see people tied together in God's church? Yes, we're joined together through the study of the scriptures, through prayer, through helping one another, and also through serving together. We're joined together when we witness a kidney transplant. What a tying together that is. As I think about how we're tied together with other congregations in the Miami Baptist Association, I think about the Calvary Chin Baptist Church over in Northern Kentucky, where Thomas Kapp is the pastor. These people are from Myanmar. My wife and I have had the privilege of visiting that church on a number of occasions. They meet on Sunday afternoons, and people come together from a variety of communities who are all Burmese. And so as I stand in the pulpit, Pastor Thomas translates what I speak because the people, by and large, do not speak English. But you know what doesn't need to be translated when I visit that congregation? Love. Love is something that doesn't need to be translated, and love is evident and apparent in all of the actions and words that are shared by the people of the Calvary Chin Baptist Church. Now, you know, several of those individuals have come here to worship with us. And one of my most vivid memories of Thomas Kapp coming to worship with us here at Mount Washington Baptist Church took place when Jerry Kane, the president then of the Judson University, was the speaker. And, you know, Judson University is named after Adoniram Judson, missionary to the Burmese people in the 19th century. And what surprised me about that opportunity that we had, as Jerry was standing here on the platform at about 9:15 and Thomas walked in the door, and Jerry began to speak to him in Burmese. And I said to myself, how is that possible that Jerry Kane, who is just like me, can speak so fluently in the Burmese language to Thomas? And Thomas brightened up, and it was as if it was the most welcomed he had ever been here in the United States as Jerry spoke to him. And that is a demonstration to us of how relationships work when people are very different from one another. It was Francis Schaeffer who said, our relationship with each other is the criterion that the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that the world is watching us to see how we treat one another in the body of Christ? To check us out and to see if we are loving toward one another. If we are, the world looks at us and says, you're different. You're not like the rest of the world. But if we're bickering, if we're angry, if we're hostile one toward another, then the world looks at us and says, Jesus Christ hasn't done anything for you. He hasn't changed your life at all. You're just like the rest of us. And so this idea of unity in the body of Christ is a very important thing. And I'm reminded when I worship with the people of Calvary Chin Baptist Church that they have the same access to the Father that I do. It says in verses 17 and 18, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So what is he talking about? The people who were near were the Jews. The people who were far away were the Gentiles. Dear friends, you and I were far away. That's what this passage is reminding us of. We were far, far away from God. And Jesus died on the cross and brought us all near, bringing us together in peace. Now there's conflict in the world, isn't there? There's conflict between individuals, between families, between communities, between nations. There's always been fighting, and I think there always will be fighting. If you go back in time in history to the 5th century, there was a monk named Telemachus who wanted to live his life in the pursuit of God, so he isolated himself in the desert, and he wanted just to pray and to fast and to meditate in solitude. Well, one day, as this gentleman was praying, he realized how selfish he was being. God spoke to him and said that if he was to serve God, he needed to get connected to people. And so where did he go? He went back to Rome. Now, Rome was a Christian state at that moment in the 5th century. And as he went back to Rome, he went back at roughly the time where there was some very interesting sports going on. And I'm not talking about football. These are the gladiator games. Now, Christians were not at this time being thrown to the lions, but prisoners of war were cast into arenas, and they were asked to fight and to kill each other. And spectators came to these arenas to watch the blood as the gladiators battled one another. So Telemachus arrived on the day of the games. He came into an arena that was filled with 80,000 people, And the fight began, and this was horrific to him. He looked at these individuals who were standing in this arena, and he was thinking to himself, these are individuals that Jesus Christ died for. Why are they trying to kill each other just to entertain people? And so he jumped into the arena and stood between the two gladiators, and he implored them to stop what they were doing. Now the crowd was furious. They were upset with Telemachus, and they shouted at him and threatened him, and then eventually he was stoned. They stoned this monk to death. And the rest of the contests for that day were canceled. 3 days later, the Roman emperor declared Telemachus a martyr, and what he did was he ended the gladiator games. This is a reminder to you and me that Jesus gave his life to bring about peace between people and to end the fighting and the bickering that goes on between individuals, between regions, and between nations. And so we read in verse 19 of Ephesians 2, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Now, what this implies is that there's something new going on in the lives of these people. Something has changed. Something has made a difference in us. How is it going in Ephesus? That's who this letter is written to, right? The Ephesians, it's written to the people of Ephesus. When you read in the 19th chapter of Acts, after the good news had been shared with the people of Ephesus, a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. What were those scrolls worth? When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. What does that mean to you and me, 50,000 drachmas? Well, what Acts 19, verse 19 is telling us is that a drachma was worth a silver coin, and that's worth about a day's wage. So 50,000 days of earnings was burned up all at once. Can you imagine the change that's gone on in these people's lives that they would do that? They're demonstrating how their lives are different. We show that we're no longer foreigners and strangers to God when we leave our old life behind. Our prayers are with this community, the city of Cincinnati, that people will leave their old lives behind and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior and receive the peace that comes with that. Now, what we read in the 20th verse of Ephesians 2 is that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, this is another way of us understanding unity. We're a building. We're joined together with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And the foundation of this building would be the apostles and the prophets. So we're built on the apostle Peter, who visited a Roman centurion and shared the gospel with him and his family, even though his Jewish brothers disapproved of him walking into that house. He did it anyway. We're also built on the prophets. It was Isaiah the prophet who spoke God's words and said, foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, and to keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. We always remember that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of this building that we occupy. I'm not talking about a physical building. I'm talking about you and I. We are God's building. It was Peter, the Apostle Peter, who recorded the words of the prophet Isaiah. See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So how's this building going? It's a good question. The 21st verse of Ephesians 2 gives us a picture of how it's supposed to be. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. So that's what we are to be, a holy temple to the Lord. Now, the idea behind the word holy is set apart for for a sacred purpose. Now, I may watch a football game this afternoon. Maybe you will too. But that's not my purpose in this world. No, I have a higher purpose than that. I am to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I am to love my neighbor as myself. Unity reminds us that we are all a temple together, being built up to glorify God. So in the 22nd verse of Ephesians chapter 2 is this very compelling statement. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What an amazing thought that is, that God is living in all of us. He is occupying this temple, the temple of God. God is living in us. God lives in the Mount Washington Baptist Church. God lives in the Linwood Baptist Church. God lives in the Columbia Baptist Church. God lives in all of the churches of our Miami Baptist Association. And as I think about that, I think, what an amazing thought that is, that God is dwelling inside of all of us. God lives in us collectively. And so the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, you yourselves are God's temple. During World War II, there were some soldiers in France that were carrying the body of one of their comrades who had been killed in battle. And they wanted to bury him somewhere and give him a proper send-off. And so they wandered up to a cemetery. And at this cemetery, they met a priest who came to the gate. And they said to the priest, we would like to bury our comrade inside of your cemetery. And the priest said to them, is he Catholic? And the response from the two soldiers was, we don't know. And then the priest replied, he cannot be buried inside of our cemetery if he is not Catholic. And so what happened in those moments were these downcast soldiers determined that they would bury their comrade just outside of the cemetery next to the fence. So they dug a grave, and they laid him inside of it, and they poured all the dirt back on top of it, and then they determined that they would come back the next morning and pay their last respects to their comrade. And so these French soldiers went away, and they pitched a tent, and they spent the night there. And then they came back the next morning to pay their last respects to their comrade. And when they got to the place where they thought the grave was, they couldn't find it. And they looked, and they looked, and they looked, and they couldn't see it anywhere. And then the priest arrived at the gate. And they looked up to the priest, and they said, we thought that our friend was right here. This is where we buried him, but now we can't find the grave. And the priest responded, while you were sleeping, I could not sleep. And so I came out here, and with my hands, I moved the fence. And so your comrade is now inside of the cemetery. Dear friends, that is unity. When you and I can move the fence as God's temple to include everyone. That's unity. And that's what God is asking us to have for people who are not like us. To include them in the body of Christ, this temple, which is joined together, rising to become holy to the Lord. May we pray. Thank you, Father, that Jesus has removed the barriers which separate people, and that all over the world today, people are worshiping you in spirit and in truth, in many languages, in many cultures, with many different words, but the same truth, the same life. through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And so today we celebrate the unity that is here in this very room, that we may worship together in spirit and in truth from different congregations, and give you praise, Father, for the amazing gift that will be given on Tuesday morning in the surgery that takes place between Jill and Diane. And so we praise you, Lord, for unity, and ask that you would help us to be unified in all that we say and all that we do. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 364, stanzas 1, 2, and 4, My Jesus, I Love Thee. We invite you to stand, and if anyone has a need for prayer, please come to the front, and a deacon or deaconess will pray with you.